Well, in 2014, relationships and the dating process just might be more confusing and challenging than ever before. For Christian young people, finding a godly mate can sometimes seem like a labyrinth. For Christian singles especially, it can be tough at times to keep hoping. Today, it's a discussion with someone who has been there and has some great insight. She wants to help as well. Her name is Lauren DeMoss. She's the founder and author at thefulltimegirl.com, a very popular blog. She is a teacher at a Christian school in New England. She dislikes early mornings, spiders, and folding laundry, and likes shoe shopping, candy apples, and fancy hair products. Through her writing, she desires to point people to Jesus and encourage and inspire her generation and the next to be courageously and fully abandoned to their Savior. It's an honor to talk with you today. Lauren, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for allowing me to talk to you.
You're most welcome. At the beginning, I mean, what's at the heart of your ministry here, and what's the need that you saw that you're hoping to help address at thefulltimegirl.com?
Really, the heart of my ministry is reaching young girls, girls younger than myself, my age, and even older women read my blog. But really, I really want to tell them the things that I wish I had known earlier, before I started dating, before I got into situations that, you know, I didn't really know how to handle and I wasn't prepared for. So I really want to reach them and talk about relationships and your worth in Christ, and how that all stems from your relationship with God.
And there's such great hope in that concept of your worth in Christ, isn't there? And we're going to talk about that a little bit more in a bit. But I wonder first, this in 2014, there is a profession called a blogger, and I know that you teach as well, but did you ever think that you would end up as a writer or a blogger?
No, I definitely did not. I was searching for something of my own, some type of ministry that I could pour my heart into, and my mom actually suggested writing, and she suggested, you know, joining a battle through through writing, and so I just started it, and I figured my friends would read it, and God has grown it to something that I never could have imagined, but I feel so honored and blessed to be a part of.
It seems like you've developed a special bond and a special ability to speak into the lives of single Christians, and especially young girls and young women like you've been speaking about, Lauren. You're pretty bold about not settling for anything less than God's best for their lives. And so the setup question on that would be, do you think a lot of us are settling for something less than God's best?
Yes, I do. And it's happened in my life before, so I know that it's easy. It's easy to settle for less because less is usually right in front of us and it's here and now, and the best is something that's unseen and that we have to wait for. So it's easy to settle for something that really God never meant for you to have and make excuses for why it's not okay and why it's not the best thing that God has prepared for you, but you're going to take it anyway because you don't want to wait.
Actually, that goes really well into what I was going to ask you next, because, I mean, there's a pressure, isn't there? I mean, it seems like, especially in the Christian subculture, there's so many good things about it, but it does seem like there is a pressure to be coupled up as soon as you can. Do you think that's true, and what kind of impact does that maybe have, good and bad?
I think that it's not only in the Christian subculture, but it's in all of culture right now because of social media, because of Pinterest, and how, you know, just Facebook and Twitter, and how we see the highlights of everybody's life. We see all these amazing wedding pictures, and everybody's getting coupled up, and we see all these things on Pinterest, these cute quotes or these amazing wedding ideas, and that has really become like the focus of our lives, especially as Christians, I think, because it was already a big focus on a young Christian person's life. But I think social media has in a huge way, placed a huge emphasis on relationships and marriage and keeping up with the Joneses, basically. I mean, it was just Father's Day, and everybody was posting pictures of their father. Not only a picture of their father, but a picture from their wedding with their father. Right. You know, so it's just like everything. You always see it, and you always feel like, well, I haven't reached that place in my life, so my life is not as fulfilled, and I'm, you know, inadequate in that way.
And that's the word, isn't it? It's the word is you don't feel as that you are adequate, or at least as adequate as your friends are.
Right.
We're talking with Lauren DeMoss. She's the founder and author at thefulltimegirl.com. So if we back up in that discussion, why is it so important to find the right person, to wait for the right person? And by the way, while we're on the topic, is there one right person, do you think?
That's a hard question. And, you know, it's hard to answer because as a girl, I know that God has a plan for me. And my plan, you know, it's tailored for me. But as a girl, I'm going to marry somebody and my life is going to be in a big way affected by him and what he does and the plans that God has for him. So I think that God... I think that God does have someone special for us, and, you know, his plans are perfect. And if we hold out and we do wait and we don't settle for less, there are blessings in that. And God has really organized and written out a love story that doesn't compare to anybody else's for us. And if we do wait and we don't settle, then we are going to get that. It's not going to be perfect, but it is going to be filled with God's blessings.
We hadn't talked about this before the interview, but it's something that struck me while you were just talking. We often think that, perhaps in a time of waiting especially, that the things that maybe seem the best to us or the paths that seem right to us at the time are the way to go. But in the end, the plan that God has for us, what you're talking about, what you're painting, God's plan for us is always for the best, isn't it? I mean, we couldn't do any better than his plan for us.
Yeah, that's a huge part of my message. My favorite verse is Psalm 18:30, and it's, "As for God, his way is perfect." And really, I want my whole life to just be a huge proclamation of God's ways being perfect. And I'm not perfect. And my life is certainly not perfect, and it's not going to be perfect, but I want to do it right. And I want to let everybody know that I'm trying my best to do it right so that I can say at the end of my life, I did my best to do it right, and his ways were perfect. No matter what happened, no matter the hard times, the good times, the bad times, it was perfect. It was perfectly planned how God wanted it to be. And I made it, and I have no regrets.
Now, something that you've written about lately at thefulltimegirl.com, and I should ask, the full-time girl, what's the meaning behind the name of the website?
Well, it wasn't my first choice for the name of the website, but I was sitting there when I first, you know, came up with it, and I figured, well, I'm very much a girly girl, and whatever I do, I try to do with my whole heart. I'm very passionate, very honest. You know, if I'm going to do something, it's not going to be halfway. It's going to be full-time. So I'm a full-time girl, girly girl, and I'm full-time for God. So that's where I came up with the name.
Understood. Talking to Lauren DeMoss all the way from Connecticut today. She's the founder and author at thefulltimegirl.com. Has an amazing ministry to young Christians. And one of your recent blogs was focusing on the beliefs that you hold and the impact that they have in your life, specifically in your dating life. You wrote this quote, and if you could just reflect on it for me, because this is powerful stuff. It says, "Let me get this straight." This is you talking. "You would die for your beliefs, but you won't date or break up for them." Could you tell us a little bit about where that came from?
Really just observing on social media, all these single Christians, and they're on fire for God, and they want the best, and then they get a significant other, and really everything goes out the window. We say, you know, we'll do anything for God, we'll do anything for our beliefs, we'll die for them, and then when it comes to picking a partner, we kind of make excuses. We don't date like it. We say, well, there's no perfect person, or they can change. I'm helping them spiritually. You know, after we're married, it's going to be different. But really, it's just being hypocritical. And I'm talking to myself, too, because I've done it. It's easy to do. It's so easy when that person is right in front of you. And, you know, they want to have a relationship with you, but they're not everything that they should be. And they don't even want to be. So, really, you know, God's ways are perfect. They're perfect throughout. They're not just perfect to get a guy or to get a girl. They're perfect throughout your entire relationship into your marriage for the rest of your life. You're going to need it. So we have to understand that. You know, we have to do it right, not just up until the point that we get that relationship or we get married. God's ways are perfect for the rest of our life, and we need to understand that I'm going to date for my beliefs, and I'm not going to compromise in my relationship. We aren't going to compromise in our marriage. And if I don't get somebody like that who thinks the same and who holds those beliefs dearly to them as well, then I need to break up with them.
Have you found some things that are helpful, some 10,000-foot principles, so to speak, about what it's like, what it looks like to date like a Jesus follower?
Really, just living in obedience to God's word. I don't have this huge list of things that I want in a guy. There's, like, you know, all these, you know, dear future husband lists. I have said for years, all I want is someone who loves God and doesn't just say they love God, but truly loves God and is obedient to his word. And if you have those things, then everything else is going to fall into place. If you, like, there really can't be a problem if you both are committed to doing what's right. You know, you don't have arguments about who's right. You both together look to God's word and say, well, what is the right thing to do about this in this situation? What does God say about it? And if when you're both seeking the best, when you're both seeking obedience to God's word, then you're both moving in the right direction. You're both moving together, closer to God, closer to one another. And I really think that's the most important thing in a relationship and into marriage and the rest of your life. That's the only way that's going to bring blessings.
That's a very cool word from Lauren DeMoss. You're listening to the founder and author at thefulltimegirl.com. And as you speak about a relationship where both people are looking to Jesus for their cues and for how they live their life, and things go well, but we know that it is true for so many of us. There have been moments when we have been interested in someone who doesn't share our faith, and the age-old belief is that we can change them, isn't it? Or that we can practice some missionary dating. Does that work?
I don't want to say that, you know, nothing good has ever come out of that, because, yes, people do get saved in a relationship with a saved person, but generally, that's not the case. And I would never go into a relationship with an unsaved person thinking I'm going to change them, because salvation is not for any one person. Salvation is not, you know, salvation is for God. You come to Christ realizing you're a sinner and you accept God into your life, not for any other reason, but that you know that you will be on your way to hell without him. And he's the only way to heaven. So to date someone hoping that they're going to change that for you is honestly very selfish, I think, because you're not God, you're not the Holy Spirit Jr., as I like to say. You're not going to change his mind. There's no guarantees that that person is going to come to Christ for you. And most of the time it doesn't happen, and you end up falling in love with this person because they're very nice and getting married to them. And, you know, like I said before, when you're both looking to do what's right from God's word, you both can move forward together. But when you both have two different sets of, you know, moral standards, then you're not coming from the same place. You're not moving towards the same place. So it's difficult. And then you bring kids into the mix, and you want to teach them the Bible, or you want to teach them right from wrong, and you both have two different sets of moral standards to teach them. So it's very difficult, and people don't realize, like, the hardships that come along with dating and marrying an unsaved person. But I've seen it in the lives of other people, and you know, it's not God's way, and God's ways are perfect, and there's no other way besides God's ways that are perfect. You're not the exception.
That's well said. Lauren DeMoss joins us, founder and author at thefulltimegirl.com. As a member of the male persuasion myself, I often am just amazed at the importance of appearance in our culture. And honestly, my heart goes out to young ladies, because it is so pervasive that your worth is intrinsically tied to how you look and how you dress. You talk about the importance of where your worth comes from a lot on your blog, and a recent offering from your site talked about beauty, and you used the phrase "pretty is as pretty does." Can you expand on true beauty and true worth, please?
Well, the "pretty is as pretty does" saying comes from my mother. I'm sure a lot of people have heard that saying too, but, you know, ever since I was a little girl, she never used to tell me that I was a princess, or that I was the fairest of them all, or that I was beautiful all the time. No, they didn't tell me that. They told me, you know, pretty is as pretty does, Lauren, and how you act and how you treat people and your heart for God, those are the things that are going to make you beautiful. And as I've grown older, I've realized it more and more. You know, we all know people who are physically very beautiful on the outside, but very ugly on the inside. And we know what it does to their outside for us. It makes them very ugly to look at, because we know how ugly they are on the inside. And the same it goes for the opposite. If there's a lady who's, you know, plain, but if she's so kind and loving and godly, it makes her so much more beautiful than we can even describe, because of the beauty that comes from Jesus that's in her heart. So it's so easy to get caught up in our culture and how they value physical beauty, and what a huge emphasis they put on that, and how, you know, we think that our worth comes from how many people think we're beautiful or compliment us, mm-hmm. or if we have a boyfriend or not, or if guys hit on us or check us out or blah, blah, blah. And that's not where it comes from at all. That's so worldly, and that's nothing that God ever intended for us to find our worth in. So really everything, relationships, confidence, being able to live the Christian life and serve others selflessly, it all comes down to my worth in Christ. And I don't have to think about who thinks I'm beautiful or whatever, because I'm looking to God and I'm looking at Jesus, and his beauty is reflected in my heart because I'm doing my best every day to be more kind and more loving and more giving and closer to Jesus Christ, those are the things that are going to give me worth and confidence. Nothing else matters, really, at that point.
Is that always easy to remember? Are there days when that is not an easy fact?
Yeah, it's not easy to remember, especially in this world. You turn on the television, it's everywhere. You go to the mall, it's everywhere. You know, and there's nothing wrong with wearing pretty clothes or buying makeup or doing your hair nice or being your best self. That's all well and good. That's fun. That's the way God made us, to enjoy beauty and be girls, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when we look at it and we want it so badly because of something that's empty inside of us, and we use it to fulfill that part of us, we just need more and more and more and more, and we'll never be satisfied, because that is, it's all vanity, like the Bible says. So it's not easy, and we really have to remind ourselves every day to not get so focused on ourselves that we forget about the big picture and, you know, what Jesus Christ has given us and what he has planned out for our lives. And it's not just soaking up compliments and putting makeup on and doing our hair and looking our best.
Well, Lauren, you painted the picture of the mall and of shopping, and I've noticed that you have tackled an issue that is very countercultural in 2014. You've talked a lot about modesty in the way that we dress, and especially your message geared for young women, but you did mention men as well, and I don't imagine that is an especially popular message in some quarters in 2014, but why do you believe it's important so strongly?
I believe it's so important because the feminist culture has it all backwards, and they think that in, you know, wearing whatever you want, showing whatever you want, it gives you the power and it gives you control. And it's actually quite the opposite. When we take back the control and power, and when we don't allow a society or the media's picture of beauty or whatever guys' perverted minds like to see on us, when we take that back and say, you know what, I'm going to do it God's way, it actually puts us in control, and it gives us the power to decide who gets to see what, and it brings blessings. I mean, this is the way that God planned it, and culture has twisted our feminine beauty to something that is so ugly and not beautiful and not innocent and not pretty or sweet. And it's just twisted it into something so perverted and sexual. And girls think the more I show, the more attention I'm going to get. But really, is that the attention that we want to get? It's not. Respect and attention are two different things. And girls don't realize that we want respect and not just attention.
Well, I do wonder what kind of reaction that you've gotten to posts like that, because I know that you mentioned the feminist ideology, and in many quarters of, I think it's fair to say, progressive Christianity, that is a message that is associated with negative things. But were you surprised by the reaction you received in any way?
I do get positive reaction. I do get negative reaction, you know, people calling me sexist or misogynistic or, you know, I'm stuck in the 1800s or whatever. But I think that there are enough people out there who value modesty and purity, but we just aren't making a big enough noise about it. I think that this message is so important in today's day and age, and we just kind of silently do our thing, and we just, you know, hide in the corner and feel out of place when we're the ones who are doing what's right, and we're the ones who are doing it God's way, and we should be shouting this message on the rooftop that this is not the way to do it. You know, showing everything, putting it all over social media, catching guys with our bodies, it's not the way to get what we want. And that's love and respect and devotion. I'm pleased with the reaction that I get when I talk about modesty, because it means that other people value it too.
Well, that's a powerful word from Lauren DeMoss. She is the founder and author at thefulltimegirl.com. And on that topic of modesty, a great blog you wrote recently, I believe it was called, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the title was The Five Things Modesty Never Taught Me. Did I get that right? Okay, so if you have a chance, if you're on your web browser or your mobile phone, that is a great article to check out for young ladies and for men such as myself, I think, because it gives us such a window into someone who's actually experienced these issues. But I want to, as our time quickly moves away, ask you in closing, I thought this was so interesting. You wrote about deserving a wonderful mate, and do we deserve a wonderful, perfect person for us simply because we were born? Is that a legitimate perspective to have?
Well, for a long time I've been talking about raising our standards and expecting the best and waiting for God's perfect person for us. And, you know, I've used the word deserve a lot because I feel that people who do what's right deserve people who do what's right. And people who are honest and faithful to God deserve people who are honest and faithful to God. They don't deserve to be treated badly. And a lot of girls and guys settle for poor treatment because they say, well, it's hard for me to say that I deserve anything because we don't deserve anything but hell, blah, 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 blah. You know, and they over-spiritualize relationships.
Right.
To the point where they are settling for less because they have some sort of God complex and they want to be spiritual about the whole thing. But they end up, you know, being treated poorly because of it. So, no, the answer is no. We don't deserve a good mate, a good, wonderful, godly guy, a good, wonderful Proverbs 31 woman if we're not being all those things ourselves, if we're not digging in the Bible and researching what we ought to be, because we only deserve what we are. I don't deserve anybody who's going to do anything more than what I'm willing to do myself. People tell me all the time, your standards are too high, you're picky, good luck ever finding a man because, you know, no one's going to do all that for you. Oh, really? Because I'm willing to do these things myself. So I know that there is someone out there who is willing to do those things too. My standards aren't too high because I live them. And I don't deserve anybody if I don't live these standards myself. So I think, you know, my message with that blog definitely was, you know, if you want somebody who's good and godly and wonderful, you've got to do your best to be good and godly and wonderful as well. You don't just deserve a good man because you're a woman. That's not a right given to you. You don't just deserve a good woman because, you know, you're going to sit around and play video games and not go to church, not read your Bible and whatever, just because you're a guy. You have to put in the work and work on your heart and be all the things that you want in that other person.
Wow, some powerful and good words today from Lauren DeMoss. She is the writer and the founder of thefulltimegirl.com. And Lauren, it has been tremendous talking with you. Thank you so much for your insight and for putting yourself out there and sharing your message. I mean, I'm sure that's not always easy, but thank you for doing it.
Thank you for allowing me to come on and talk to you. You know, it's not easy, but it's always worth it. And I'm very, very blessed and grateful to have the platform that I do and the opportunities that I do. It's really nothing that I could have done myself. It's really all of God. So I do my best to proclaim, you know, the truth from the God's word and his words, not mine.
Well said. Well, we wish you the very best going forward.
Thank you so much.